You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
In this podcast, you will get to hear about the journey of three athletes who are currently working at Eastside Radio or have worked at Eastside in the past. You will hear about a cyclist, a runner, and a swimmer. I hope you will love it. Very happy to welcome Christoph Zin to talk about running and his experience and his journey as a runner. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, look, it's lovely. And the purpose of talking about running is not, I can't boast about my running, it's nothing special, but I really love to encourage other people to do so because, corny warning, we're not called a human race for nothing. We all run. It's an absolutely universal thing. And that's one of the most beautiful things about running, and particularly coming up to the Sydney Marathon this Sunday, that's why I'm in town, is there are people all around the world who'll be among the 33,000 people running. And there'll be people, believe it or not, of all shapes and sizes. They're not all tall and thin like Kipchoge, you know, who's the African champion runner. There'll be people who think, God, they can look like they could run a mile, let alone 42 kilometres. Yet they can and they do and they try. And some are fast and some are slow. It doesn't matter. It's about joining joining in. And that's what I find so special about. The people who are super fit and come in for, that's great. They get their own rewards. But the people who just do it and challenge themselves or join in, that is what is such a wonderful thing, especially since, you know, some of the world seems so fragmented by issues of politics or identity or whatever. When you're in a pair of running shoes and you're on a course, it's not how fast or slow you go. It's just the fact that you turned up and you did it. That is fantastic because that is a perfect metaphor for life. You start, you join it, other people are doing the same.
Running in the first place?
I mean, the very beginning, I was a pretty overweight teenager and I was at school in England in the country and the cross-country running, which I used to hate, but I did used to find the thrill of going out to run in the country early in the morning before breakfast and the kind of endorphin rush that gave you. So for many years, I was just a kind of a jogger. I wasn't a runner. I jog and I do the city to surf as a jog. I'd never practice or whatever. But it kept some of my weight down, kept me fit, kept me feeling good, but it didn't really change much. And then about 8 years ago, Bondi Community College had a course on running for 4 weeks, I saw, and I thought, oh, I might do that. And it was like 4 weeks, 1 hour in the class, 1 hour across on the Oval on Bondi Road, running around that. And I'd never thought of joining a club, but yeah, I thought, seems quite fun. And I joined the club, and there's the fun runners, and then there's another club, and I just built up. And then I did a half marathon, because I thought, that's not too hard after City to Surf at 14. And then I thought, well, okay, what's next? And then that was the marathon. And actually, I've done about 16 marathons since then. And you know what? I've enjoyed them all. Some have been faster than others. Some have been harder than others. But I get to the end, I say, oh, well, I'll do that again. That, to me, is the fulfilling part of it. There are tens of thousands of marathons around the world and in different ways and places and people. It's a completely different experience every time. And that's, again, one of the things that makes it special.
Do you have a favorite race, like a favorite marathon you've done?
Sydney is a favorite because that was the first one I ever did. But actually, one of my favorite experiences was at Shoalhaven, which is a little town just south of Wollongong. There are only 100 people who did it, but it was actually a lot of fun. Running is also surprisingly very social, also equalizing, because while Kipchoge will be there and he can, you know, it doesn't matter. Everyone there is a runner, no matter how fast or slow. They're runners, they've turned up. That is a beautiful, wonderful thing to hold in common. And they're very inclusive and they're very happy for anyone else to come and hold their hand and join them and take them through. You've got to do the work, you've got to do the training, you can't just do it. Everyone's done that. Everyone at the starting line doesn't know if they'll finish or how fast they'll go because things go wrong. It's hard, it's meant to be hard. And again, that's a great sense of belonging and commonality, which, you know, in life generally isn't that commonplace anymore. I don't find it anymore. So that's, I suppose, why I like running.
What motivates you to go out and run?
I'd actually say it's not an intellectual motivation. I think I have a cart horse in my being. But when I do these long runs, there is like an old horse that is clip-clop, clip-clop. so I've got to keep that inner horse happy and fed and watered. And as long as I do that, he'll keep going. I think my motivation is also that I always like to have a marathon ahead of me or something like that. So it keeps me in training. It keeps me focused. If I was saying, oh, I'm not going to do one for a few years, you know, I'd think, oh, I'll never be able to do another one. You have to keep yourself up to a certain operational tempo. But you do have to put in the hours. That's it. So, you know, it does take time. But if you can get up early, it shouldn't eat into your life too much.
Now that you've started doing ultra marathon, do you feel like in your head, like it normalizes the marathon distance?
No, because the thing about marathons, they say, is that until about kilometer 34, it's just a fun run. Then it becomes a marathon. So the marathon's really in the last 10 kilometers. That's where it gets tough. That's where you have to really manage your energy. It's all a learning experience.
What do you think is the biggest lesson that running has taught you?
I would say it's humility. You're very humble. You have to be, because the distance is very big. It's very challenging. You've got to be humble. You've got to understand. You've got to listen to your body. Ultimately, it's a humbling experience, because you know what? It's tough.
How do you think running has impacted your mental health?
I think part of it is the exercise drives a lot of blood through your brain, and that's meant to be good for sort of dementia and all sorts of other things. So I think there is definitely a physiological benefit to your health. Of course there is, and that includes your brain. In a psychological sense, I think, see, for part of it is that you're in the moment. You're totally in the moment. Not all the time, but much of it, you were in the moment.
Matt is an Eastside Radio presenter. He co-hosts Below on Thursdays at Eastside Radio from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And he's also a very regular swimmer. So we're going to hear about him and his journey as a swimmer.
Can you tell us why did you start swimming in the first place?
Well, when I was a little kid, I had swimming lessons and I learned to swim. So I enjoyed that. But I was not that serious about it. I always really enjoyed swimming in the beach. I think I got into swimming in the bush, like in mountain streams and lakes and things, from my brother, who was older than me. And we would always do that, go bushwalking, find some waterfall and go swimming. So that was kind of, I always loved that. And I particularly loved swimming in, you know, beautiful lakes and places in the Snowy Mountains or Tasmania or places like that. So I always loved being in the water. But I didn't really get into kind of doing laps until much later. When I was in my 20s, I got into swimming in the pool.
Would you say you're more of a lake swimmer, of a beach swimmer, maybe like the pool?
I love being in nature. And look, I swam in pools doing laps happily. One night I was doing a gig and with the singer Emma Pask, and she said, oh, we got talking about swimming. And she said, I love swimming in the ocean. And a bunch of friends, we swim across Bondi Bay. We're going in the morning, tomorrow morning, if you want to come along. So I said, okay, I'll give that a try. And once I did that, I just fell in love with swimming in the ocean. So it's okay swimming in a pool. I love that too. But to just jump off the rocks at the south end of Bondi, swim over to the north end, and then come back with a bunch of friends is just such a great thing to do. So I love it. Some days it might be two or three of us. Some days it might be 15 or 20 of us, depending on who's free, whenever I can get down there.
Is there something in particular that makes you swim?
At a certain point, I kind of got interested in trying to swim better. And one of the main reasons was swimming with my friends at icebergs across the ocean. In the winter, it gets cold. Because I was slower than a lot of them, it meant that they would have to wait for me to catch up. We would do this thing where we would swim halfway across and then just wait and then swim again. So if I'm letting people sit there for too long in the cold, having to tread water, they get cold. So it was a real motivation. Like, I've got to try and try and keep up with them.
And do you think swimming has an impact on your mental health?
Absolutely. Yeah. Many times you can be feeling a bit distracted or in some strange mood for some reason, but just getting in the water, especially if it's cold water, snaps you out straight away. And being in the ocean, it's not just swimming in the water, which is great, but every day is different. You know, the currents are different. Some days there's big waves to negotiate, so that can be a little bit scary. So you see shark, so that's always a little bit scary.
I'm wondering, is there a place that you've swum in that is very...
Yeah, there's a few. The first one that comes to mind is in the Cradle Mountain, Lake St. Clair National Park in Tasmania. There's a beautiful lake, Crater Lake, and it's the most beautiful scenery. It wasn't too cold when we went in there in the summer. There's a little island you can swim out to and swim in these waterfalls. I love it. And something about swimming in the cold that I like, it's like something about being uncomfortable in life, isn't there? Like if you're always doing the most comfortable thing, then you just sit down on the couch, get Uber Eats, and you never leave the house. And this is sort of the other side. When you get in water where you go, this is actually hurting my shins. It's hurting. It's painful. And I'm having trouble breathing. And I've got a headache from the water. I guess it's not super pleasant, but there's something like just to see what your body can handle. Like, and then you do that and then you get out and you're still alive. Nothing happened. You just were cold, you know? So I think it's a good thing to sometimes to kind of just realize, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable.
Huey Phillips is also a presenter on Eastside Radio. He presents Album of the Week on Wednesdays, and he's also a cyclist. He learned how to cycle as a kid, then turned to mountain biking before doing road biking and racing for several years. So I'm very, very excited to have him share his journey as a cyclist.
Why did you start cycling in the first place?
I started cycling to school, like as a child, you know, like most people do. And then I moved into mountain biking, and then I started racing on the mountain bike, and then I started got onto the road from a number of years.
How long have you been cycling for?
Yeah, forever. Like, I've never stopped. Like, when I stopped racing, I became a bike courier for like 3 years. And then the only thing that stopped me is I moved to London for a bit. And then now I'm at uni and I'm just cycling. Like, I cycled here. I cycle everywhere. I'm actually going to be a courier again next month because the Cycle Messenger Worlds are in Sydney and they need people who know how to bike messenger to fill in while everyone else is racing.
And so how has your relationship kind of changed, especially like from a kid to like doing it so much more? Like, how has that evolved over time?
Yeah, well, it used to rule my life, up at 4 a.m. during the week and then, you know, on the bike by 4:30 and do, you know, 120 Ks before 9. And then I'd be racing on the weekends. So around that, there was no life outside of cycling, which is great when you're in it, but it can be a bit isolating. But everyone else around you is also in the same boat, so you kind of feel like it's all good. So that was very dominant. It, like, dominated my life. But now it's like my, you know, like a good friend. It helps me with my life. I don't have to get up at 4 a.m. is what I'm trying to say anymore. I'm not like racing or stressed about racing and performance.
Do you think that getting out of this racing environment removed a lot of pressure related to cycling?
Yeah, I think I definitely enjoy cycling a lot more now. I'm definitely not as fit. You know, I enjoy cycling in a way where I go for a bike ride for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I enjoy that. You know, I'm like free now. I can ride as fast or as far as I want.
I'm curious to know, what's your motivation behind cycling? I know you started as a kid, but then you went to racing. And what motivated you to race?
For France and Paris-Roubaix and like all these bike races. And I would watch them on TV with my dad and stuff. And I was like super excited about being, I wanted to be pro and I wanted to do the tour. And I wanted to do the Vuelta and all these, like, you know, I wanted to be like a professional cyclist. It's got something to do with in terms of a subconscious attraction to cycling. I think it's got something to do with rhythm and breath and the rhythm of life a little bit. Subconsciously, that's why I'm attracted to it. Consciously, it can be very exciting. Once you know how to like ride through traffic and cut through red light, dart around, and that also felt good, you know? So there's like a multiple different things. I identify more as a courier cyclist now than not that I am a courier professionally, but that's why I feel closest. I felt free.
How does cycling impact your mental health or mindset?
I think it's probably one of the most important things for my mental health. Now, a lot of commuting and stuff, I just get on my bike and ride everywhere. Whatever's happening, whether like good or bad, I get period of time right after it, whether it's like finishing work or going to work or, you know, going meeting friends for drinks and cycling home, I get like 15 to 30 minutes of, it's almost like meditation. Like, you go back to breath and it's just the rhythm of pedaling and your heartbeat goes up and you're breathing and, you know, you're in the fresh air and you're kind of in nature all of a sudden. And I think that's a great way to come back to reality.
So you mentioned like those big races that are very famous. Did you ever end up getting there?
No, I never did. But my training partner did the Tour de France in 2020. 3. I know people who are got to that level. I'm not really in contact with them anymore because it's kind of one of those things where it's like, as I said earlier, when you're in that world, it's that you're in the world. But once you're out of that world, you kind of don't have any, can't really relate to anyone. I was like club champion at the biggest club in Australia, which was good. Elite club champion. I was racing first grade locally. I mean, I remember one of my last races because I had like quite a bad crash that I kind of like just stopped straight away after. But in my last race, which was like the weekend before that crash, I remember I was off the front of the peloton with like a guy who did the Vuelta the year before. I was going okay. I don't know if I ever would have even been able to go pro if I kept going. Definitely well above average, you know, local races and stuff.
I hope that this podcast gave you some insight on what it's like to be an athlete at different level in different sports. And I really want to say a very big thank you to Chris, Matt, and Yuhei for answering my questions. I really, really appreciate it. Triathlon is a sport that means a lot to me. And yeah, I hope you love this podcast. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on podcast.